Thank you for that good word, Marie. Thank you so much. I invite you to turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, page 949 in those red pew Bibles. I encourage you to follow along with us as we keep going through this book of Ephesians. A couple more weeks and then we'll be into the season of Lent as we prepare ourselves for Easter. There was this kind and lovable character around town by the name of Neil. He was considered by many people to be kind of a simple-minded guy, and from time to time the people would go up to Neil and they would offer him the choice of a nickel or a dime. And Neil always chose the larger coin, you know. And finally, somebody, they couldn't take it anymore. They just didn't like, they felt it was mocking him. So he went up to Neil and said, "Neil, you know, don't let these people fool you. The nickel might be larger, but the dime is worth twice as much." And Neil kind of whispered back. He says, "I know, but if I start taking dimes, they'll stop offering me money." Yeah. Might be a little smarter than people thought. Maybe even some wisdom there. And as we're here in the book of Ephesians, which is a basic overview of the faith, Paul has been writing to these Christians and addressing all kind of topics, as we have seen over the past few weeks, pretty much the basics of Christian living. And today we're going to have an emphasis. He talks about walking in the light of Christ and walking in wisdom. And so let's look at the scripture as I read it, starting in verse 1. And let me pray before I start reading here. Lord, as we jump into your word, we have been blessing you as we sing these wonderful songs of praise, but now you want to bless us as we look at your word, examine it, maybe sit on it a little bit, and Lord, we pray that we would be blessed, that we would be drawn closer to you because of it. We ask this in Jesus' name, amen. Ephesians 5, starting in verse 1. "Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. But among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality, or of any kind of impurity, or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a person is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore do not be partners with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. This is why it is said, 'Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you.' Be very careful, then, how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." A number of years ago, I went to a leadership conference. It was headed by this guy by the name of John Maxwell. He's this leadership guru, and he had been given out these free little books at the leadership conference, and I thought this was interesting. The title of this book is You can't be a smart cookie if you have a crummy attitude. And what this book contains, just these little bite-sized chunks of life-changing wisdom. Things like life is 10% how we make it, 90% how we take it. Circumstances do not make what you are, they reveal what you are. Failure isn't failure unless you don't learn from it. Your problem is not your problem. Your attitude, how you handle your problems, is your problem. Cute little sayings. And in this last section of that we looked at today of Ephesians 5, I think this is what Paul is doing for the Ephesians. He's giving them some bite-sized chunks of wisdom, things to think about as they live life as followers of Jesus, because he wants them to succeed. He wants them to experience the abundant life in Christ the way Jesus taught. And so I think this is why this section is important to us as well. Even though, as we've gone through Ephesians, we read here this morning, there's a bunch of do's and don'ts listed here, right? Don't do this, do this. But we want to remember that that's not the entirety of our faith. Sometimes Christianity can fall into a religion of rule following. That's as I grew up, that's how I thought Christianity was. You had to go to church, you had to read your Bible every day, you had to give money, and there's things that you don't do. You can't cuss, you can't chew, you can't go with girls that do, that sort of thing. Things that you do, things that you don't. But we want to remember that Christianity is about a relationship with Jesus Christ. Okay? It is a relationship. And when you have that relationship with Christ, he brings us joy. He brings us hope. He brings us an invigorating and abundant, full life. And he helps us to make better decisions so that we don't live in regret from the past decisions that we made. And so I think that's why Paul tells us in verse 15, he says this, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise." So that be very careful. I like to call that, I've talked about before, about not living our life on autopilot, right? And so what he's saying, pay attention to your life. He's telling us to be a smart cookie, is kind of what Paul is saying here. So here's a couple of Paul's suggestions on his wisdom tidbits on how we can be a smart cookie. And he starts off in verse 16 by telling us, make the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. How many of you like a good bargain? I like a good bargain, okay? My wife will tell you I like a good bargain. You can go to my garage and look at all the junk in my garage. She cleans out the food pantry this weekend and she says, "Do you know why we have 16 boxes of mac and cheese?" It was a good bargain, right? And we have grandchildren now. This is what Paul is saying here. He says, when he's saying, make the most of every opportunity, or your Bible might have redeeming the time. You might remember that growing up, redeeming the time. The Greek word that is used there is actually a marketplace word. The word agora, marketplace, is in there, and it means to snap up all the bargains that you can, okay? And so Paul's idea here is this. God gave us a bargain with our time. God gave us a tremendous blessing with our time. Let's not waste it, okay? Make the most of every opportunity. And so the first step that he's telling us, this tidbit, is this. To eliminate time wasters from our lives. Eliminate time wasters from our life. Now, I got to be careful because I'm a good time waster, okay? I can be sitting down in my office at my desk and doing research on a sermon and all that sort of stuff and take a little break and say, okay, let's just see what's over email or check on Facebook. And all of a sudden, I can just be scrolling on Facebook, and then all of a sudden, boom. A harmless just foray over into Facebook, and then I'm watching 30 minutes of videos, right? And I'm kind of going, oh, man. Now, Facebook is not bad. I've been able to connect with some high school friends because of Facebook. I've been able to keep up with church people as they go on vacation, and they show me cool pictures of grandchildren and stuff like that. That's awesome. But, yeah, you can get lost down the rabbit hole, can't you? And that's why I think Paul says, be very careful. Be very careful. I get a nice easy chair at home, right in front of my TV, okay? And I sit in my easy chair some evening and just sit and just watch something, you watch a program, cool. I don't feel like getting up. You know, flipping around. And before you know it, boom, there goes a whole evening. You know, and it's like, you know, you watch a couple different things or you watch parts of a number of different things, right? And it could just suck some time out of my evening. You know, when I grew up, what they called the TV, I don't know if they called it, but the old people, when I was growing up, they called it the idiot box. All right? Anybody remember that? It's called the idiot box. Now we have our idiot box this size, right? Where we can just sit and scroll, and we can get lost. Here's the issue now that we become smarter. Science tells us that extended time on our devices and even in front of a TV changes our brains. It actually changes our brains, and not for the better. Oh, we get smarter. No, it's like we lose attention span. We can't do some things that we used to do. And so Paul says, 2,000 years ago, he says, be very careful. And so he's encouraging us to invest our energies in things that are worthwhile. And so one of the things we might ask ourselves is this. What can I eliminate from my life to make better use of my time? Now, again, it's not bad to watch TV, but if we're not careful, we can just get sucked in it when maybe we could have made better use of our time. I shared before that when I go hiking, I always take my phone. It has GPS on it, and I can bring a trail map up to it because I can go hiking, and sometimes, on occasion, I come to a place where there's been a fork in the trail, and there's no fork on the map. So what do? Right. Eeny, meeny, miny, moe, catch a tiger. You know, you could do that, and we've kind of done that, or maybe you have a good idea which way to go, but I've gone down the wrong fork before, but I look at my GPS and say, hey, that's not matching the trail, so what do? I backtrack and then go down the other fork of the trail. And I think Paul is saying something really similar here. Notice what he says in verse 10. And this is, we've got to pay attention here. He says this, find out what pleases the Lord. Find out what pleases the Lord. In other words, that Greek word there means to test, to examine, to prove whether a thing is genuine or not. Like metal is how that word is used. In other words, Paul's kind of saying, listen, it's going to take some work to do it. Okay, find out what pleases the Lord. Verse 17, he kind of says something similar. Don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. You know, we kind of get the idea here that our natural instinct for living might lead us down a path that's different than what Jesus wants for us. Okay, that there's something inside of us says, in fact, this is a verse I remember from a long time ago, Proverbs 14:12, and I have it in your outlines, this. There's a way that appears to be right, but in the end it leads to death. Isn't that interesting? And I like to call that's the anti-autopilot verse, isn't it? We just keep going down, and it's going to take us away from Jesus. So Paul's saying, listen, it's foolish then to just live on autopilot, but instead work at it, figure out what God wants for you and how he wants you to live. It's going to take some work, okay? And so the second little bit of wisdom Paul gives us is contemplate God's direction for your life. Contemplate God's direction for your life. There's a necessity here of spending some quiet and some reflective time with God so we can discern what God wants us to do. May not be obvious. You know, we're not going to go down to breakfast that morning and probably not going to be a piece of paper that says, hey, our to-do list for the day, this is from God. That's not going to happen, right? What seems natural to us may not be the wisest path. And I see things, memes on the internet, and people saying, you know, the common wisdom of the day is this. And you might have heard this when people say this. You be you. You be you. Or just follow your heart. Just follow your heart. When I hear that, I just kind of go, no! My heart lies to me. Okay? And so the wise person, Paul is telling us, the wise person doesn't wander through life or follow their heart's desires, but seeks God's direction. Because God is our creator. He's the one who created me. And if I follow him, he's going to lead me in the right way. And his will and his plan will lead me to getting the most out of life. And I can avoid, this is a big thing, I can avoid learning the hard way. I don't have to learn the hard way, all right? Generally, yeah, it's going to happen, but it doesn't have to happen, okay? Contemplate God's direction for your life. Now, this third one's really, really interesting. It's really surprising to me. Verse 18 and 19, look what he says. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. So Paul's saying the unwise move in life is to get drunk, right? Which many of us will agree with that. It was common back in Paul's day as well. It leads to debauchery. What debauchery is, any excess that leads to loss of control. Okay, that's what we mean here by debauchery. And so Paul is comparing and contrasting that life with being filled with the Spirit. Okay, and Paul lists some of the marks of being, this is a mark of being filled with the Spirit, of being controlled by the Spirit. And what is it? It's worship and singing. It's singing. Who thinks about that? You know, all of a sudden, there's a lot of us that think, well, shoot, I can't do that because I can't sing. I'll kind of argue with that a little bit. So here's the third little tidbit of wisdom from Paul is, generate worship, sing. Sing. Now, there's godly and biblical wisdom in singing, and we grow in wisdom when we sing. Not just like this, but to one another and to ourselves, singing to ourselves. Yeah, we might, there's that crazy person singing to himself. Oh, we might just think, you know, okay, it's what the Bible wants me to do, so it's okay, right? Now, why is worship and singing connected to wisdom? Well, I think when we get into the habit of singing, it's a constant reminder to us that God is with me. It's just a constant reminder that, and we start singing songs that we know, you know, like maybe Heavenly Sunlight. Maybe that'll be on us for a while. Or like He Lives. And it's a reminder that Jesus is alive. That no matter what I'm going through, the junk that I'm going through, you know, these songs sing truth. And that's a reminder. Oh, and maybe that can pick us up throughout the day. Gives us hope, strength, courage, wisdom to make better decisions. Right? Now, verse 19 is kind of interesting there. It says, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Now, I don't recall anyone ever coming up to me singing a song of encouragement to me. In fact, if you would, hey, I'm going to encourage you, Greg, and come up and sing a song, I'm kind of going to go, whoop, it's a little weird, you know. But I am encouraged when I come in this place every week. And people are singing. Okay, I'm encouraged by that. And you might not think about it, but it's important. Usually, here's our thinking when we come into worship. And sometimes it's guilt, because I haven't been to church for a while, so I've got to go to check in with God, and so I'll go to worship to make sure that God sees me and Greg sees me, and I want to go and worship because God will be pleased. A good reason God wants us to worship. The other one is this, that we'll go to worship to make myself feel better, right? I had a rough week. I should go to church today because I had a rough week. I need a pick-me-up. How many of you, don't raise your hand, but how many of us say, I need my spiritual battery recharged? That's, you know, the thing is, and then that's why people just don't come stop because they say, well, I can go golfing or I can go on a hike on Sunday morning. That'll recharge my battery. But here's the other thing. The other thing is this verse here, because you're singing, hear me in this, this is so important. You're singing here today, your being here today encourages other people. It encourages other people. Like you guys could be singing over here and you're not paying anything, you know, you're just going through the motions and singing, and it could be somebody over here having a lousy week and they weren't going to come, but oh, whatever, I'll just go, and it's everybody singing in here can just build up somebody over here. And you don't even think about it. But you ever think about it that you come to worship on Sunday morning to bless other people? That's what this verse is talking about. Paul said there's wisdom in that, that we can get wisdom, give wisdom to other people. That's why Hebrews 10:25 says this, don't get into the habit of not meeting together, but meet together to encourage one another. Think about that. I don't want to lay a guilt trip on you, but think about that the next time you don't think about going to worship. Because your presence blesses other people. That's what it means. So, here, let's do this. Let's encourage one another right now. Okay? So we're going to sing. We're going to sing my favorite song. So if nothing else, you can just say, well, you know, but okay, I'll encourage Greg by singing He Lives. So let's stand and let's sing He Lives, because He does, all right? Let's belt it out.
I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that He is living. Whatever men might say, I see His voice of cheer, and just the time I need Him, He's always near. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You
encouraging me. Here's the last little tidbit of wisdom from Paul in verse 20. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. And that, the fourth one is this. Cultivate gratitude. Cultivate gratitude. Notice Paul's use of the extreme words, always, and everything. He's talking about a lifestyle here. And I think a lifestyle of gratitude keeps us humble. It keeps us from thinking that where we got to where we are today is by hard work, or my smarts, or my own ingenuity. When we rely on God for everything, you know what? We gain wisdom. And when we constantly are turning to God in thanks, we are gaining wisdom. Folks, what I've shared with you this morning is not rocket science, right? I'm not sharing with you anything really, really groundbreaking here today. It's kind of like the book that came out a number of years ago by Robert Fulghum. He said, All I really needed to know, I learned in kindergarten. Remember that book? Well, it was like things were obvious, but we needed to be reminded of them so that we can do them and make a better world. And the same thing is here. Jesus, in his most famous sermon, the Sermon on the Mount, told us plainly how to be a smart cookie. Here's what he said. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. Friends, be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. Would you bow your heads? I just want you to think about that outline. Think about those nuggets of wisdom that Paul had lined out for us. Is there anything that just kind of jumped out at you? Let me give you some time of silence just between you and God. Maybe it was the time wasters thing. You know, there's something you need to eliminate from your daily life, or maybe it's sitting down with God for a quiet time to contemplate and let Him direct your path. Maybe it's your commitment to worship, or the permission to sing more in your everyday life. What can you do to remind yourself to be grateful every day? Let God speak to you, or maybe confess during this time. Father God, we thank you for the encouragement of Scripture. We thank you for we thank you for the fact that you just don't want us to leave us the way that we are. But when we begin to acquire wisdom, we will more readily enjoy the abundant life that Jesus talked about, life here on this earth. So, Lord, for those folks that are making decisions, I pray that you would give them continued wisdom. Lord, I pray that you would give them strength and courage to make new changes in their life. I ask for the strength of the Holy Spirit to be upon them as well. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.